Let's first look to the Lord in prayer. If you are where you can open the scripture, open it to John chapter 18. Father, we come into your presence once again and thank you for the opportunity to speak to the people in this Randolph County and surrounding area, Father, concerning your beloved Son. We lift up the one who has a name that is above every name, that one day, as the scripture tells us, every knee shall bow, whether in heaven or earth or under the earth. We thank you for who he is, what he means to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 18. We're looking at the first 11 verses and Christ in the garden. Christ in the garden of Gethsemane. We see his hour has come. That is the hour of the cross is drawing so very near. We see many months covered in John chapter 1 to John chapter 12. But yet once we see him go to the upper room, in the upper room ministry in John 13 to 16, we see just a very few days into the cross of Calvary. Just a very few hours, we should say. And then as we enter in now to John 18, we're on the very brink, the very edge of the time when the Lord Jesus Christ would go to the cross of Calvary. The place, of course, where he would redeem lost men and women, would pay for our sins, as the one who knew no sin was made sin for us. Now, as we consider him in the garden, we have been looking at, in recent times together, at the attitude of prayer that Christ had there in that garden of Gethsemane. We turn to Matthew primarily to parallel in one of the other Gospels this portion, and that's where we would find the mentions of his prayer. Three times he went to prayer, mentioned in Matthew 26. The disciples, however, were heavy with sleep. And now as we move to verse 3, we would like to consider, after this time of prayer, we'd like to consider Judas and his betrayal here in the Garden of Gethsemane. We see that in John 13, the prophecy, the prediction of this betrayal by the Lord Jesus, he predicted the betrayal of Judas. In John 18, we see the fulfillment of this. And just as well, in those same chapters, we see the Lord Jesus in his prophecy to Peter of his denial of the Lord. We see as well, as we're in John 18, a few verses later, we'll see the fulfillment of Peter's denial. Now, in verse 3 of John 18, let's read, Judas, then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Now notice here, Jesus and his disciples found in the garden without Judas. And yet now Judas comes with a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. He comes to pinpoint to this crowd, to the soldiers, which one is Jesus, we see that they come with lanterns and torches and weapons. How ironic we find the situation here. We see that they had need of light. They brought their lanterns and torches. And yet the irony of the situation is that Christ, the one who had said to the mixed multitudes that he spoke to the rejecting Jews of that day, he said, "I am the light of the world." So they were coming to the very light of the world, yet they, because of their spiritual blindness, we see pictured here, in the dark, they came with lanterns and torches, need of light in the presence of the true light. Well, as we see here, Judas, he was to kiss the Lord as a way of identifying him, so that they would know which one to take. Now, as we turn to Luke 22, we would see this situation. It's not mentioned specifically in John, but it's the parallel passage in Luke 22 and verse 47. "And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. So Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Ever so close, but eternally far away." Here's this man, Judas. He had walked with the Lord. He had been with him. He had done many of the things that the rest of the disciples had done. He had put up the front of truly wanting to serve and follow this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet when it come down to it, 30 pieces of silver were more important to Judas. And we see here that it's with a kiss that he betrays the Lord. Now, when we think of intimacy, often a kiss is used in such a manner. We think of that which is usually thought of between a man and a woman, man and his wife, even though we know in today's society it's just a very nonchalant thing. But to kiss someone in some cultures is done instead of a handshake. But we see that this is something thought of as something intimate. So here's the very Lord himself, and Judas kisses his very face. Not as something for true intimacy, as a handshake, as to count him as a brother, but yet to identify him, to point him out, to betray him. Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? These words must have penetrated Judas in his heart later. As later Judas would come back to these religious leaders and throw down these 30 pieces of silver and say, "I betrayed an innocent man." And they'd say, "What is that to us? You go and see to this." And they bought the potter's field with that money. In their hypocrisy, these religious leaders said, "Well, we can't use this money. It's the price of blood." Yet they were guilty of the very Lord's death. Just like you and I in other ways, we're all sinners. We're all guilty of the Lord's blood. But yet here we see with a kiss, we see he rejects the Lord. In Psalms 41:9, the prediction of this, the prophecy of this situation with Judas, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." He lifted up his heel against the very Lord of glory, the one he had walked with, the one he had spent much time with, following him, being with Peter, James, and John, and the other disciples, the one who kept the bag, the one who was the treasurer, this one Judas. And yet, as in Psalm 41:9, his own familiar friend, in whom he has trusted, has lifted up his heel against him. Think of walking along with a friend behind you, and without any indication, without any previous hostility, you take up your heel and smite the person behind you, just kick and lash out behind you. This would be as a familiar friend, right out of the blue, just kicking you right there in your shin, or right there in your knee or something, and just lashing out at you, his own familiar friend. So we see the betrayal of Judas. This is very serious. You know, it says in Psalm 34:8, "Taste and see that he is good." Speaking of the Lord, taste and see that he is good. It doesn't say taste and reject. But we see here Judas betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss, the Son of God. Now, as we continue on, let's think along in this time, as we saw in Luke, it spoke of how he, after he had spoken, so perhaps what we just talked about happened after what we see in John 18:4-6, and that is the situation of when they first came to the Lord, and they said in verse 4, where the Lord said, rather, "Whom seek ye?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Now, whenever he answered, "I am he," they fell back to the ground. Can you imagine a band of men, according to Bible dictionaries and concordances, studying the Greek and such in Bible history, a band of men may have been a very large crowd. Imagine, here's one man, and they're taking him, and they bring a band of men. And the whole band of men fall to the ground. What life they had. You know, I've thought often, I wonder if some of these people went away marveling over how when he said, "I am he," they all fell down to the ground, a display of his power. You know, what amazes me even more is it happened as far as him asking again, "Whom seek ye?" That he asked them again. When he asked them again, they said, "Jesus of Nazareth," once again. This time, they didn't fall back. It's amazing that he even asked after that display of his power. So we see when he said, "I am," it's tied in with the "I am's" of the book of John and the "I am" there at the burning bush with Moses in Exodus. He said, "I am." This is the ever-existing Lord speaking, the Alpha and the Omega, the end from the end, ending, the one with no beginning and no ending, rather, the great I am. So we see here the question, did some of these believe? We don't know. It's not told to us. It's amazing how that many people saw the power of God as Judas betrayed him with a kiss. My friend, I would ask you today, do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you going through religious motions and just around the Christians? Are you as Judas? And when it comes to eternity, you may have been in the very presence of spiritual things during your life, but as far as eternity is concerned, you'll be eternally separated from the very Son of God. My exhortation to you today is don't be a Judas. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. same. Join us next Sunday morning at 10:15. We continue our series in John chapter 18. Have a good week.